This morning we continue our time in 1 John, and I don't know if you've picked up on the name or the title of the series, God is Light and God is Love. And I'll explain a little bit why that's the title. And I have preached through 1 John a few times. I love 1 John, and I have discovered every time I go through 1 John that I discover new things again. So I love 1 John. But as we think about that, as we start this morning, I have 3 points as per usual. The first one is that God is light, which is the title of the talk this morning. God is light. And in verse 5 it says, "This is the message we have heard from the beginning," which I read to you as we started, didn't I, from Genesis 1:1. "This is the message you've heard from the beginning and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all." God is light. Now, if you look at 1 John 1:5, it makes that statement, God is light. There's another statement in 1 John, which brings us the title for the series, that comes from 1 John 4 in verse 16, which is simply, God is love, which is the more famous of the two statements, isn't it? I think it's sometimes, even though we're very confused about what love is at many points, especially in our society today, we love that statement, God is love. But the statement in chapter, in this first chapter, God is light, is one that we don't refer to as much for some reason. I wonder if it's because we're not sure what that means either, that God is light. Maybe it's not as exciting, it's not as warm. Maybe there's a degree to this idea that God is light that is a little bit scary and off-putting. Because we are people who often choose to walk in the dark. Because the light sometimes brings to our attention things that we don't like. So maybe it's a little confronting. But Genesis 1, the first words of God are, "Let there be light." And what does it say after God says, "Let there be light," and there was light? It says, God sees the light and sees that it's what? Good. So what is this light? Now, on Monday night, a group of us who are leaders of Bible studies and some of the people who preach here at MacChap, as well as Ride Presbyterian, we sort of were having a bit of a discussion about what is light. And it was interesting. There's a bunch of things that come through. When you look up light in a theological or Bible dictionary, it gives you some things as well that add to it. But this idea of supreme holiness, of purity. There is a purity in light. This idea of wisdom, you know, that idea of shedding some light on something, bringing wisdom to it. Truth. Light is something that exposes reality. And so it often, for us, brings the truth to a situation. It's life-giving. It's interesting that in the creation account, the first thing that happens is let there be light. Without light, there's no plants. There's no animals. There's no vitamin D. There's nothing that is this basic thing that's required for life that is light. The idea that with light, things are in full view. This is, I think, one of the reasons why we as broken people find light confronting at times. It's illuminating, isn't it? It shows up the reality. And the interesting thing too is that with light there is no darkness. It's an interesting way that light and darkness relate to one another, because it's not a two-way relationship that's equal. But in short, as you look at some of these things, purity, wisdom, truth, life, illumination, they're all powerful things in the process of transformation. In changing who we are as people who are so often people that walk in the darkness, transforming us into being like Christ and walking in the light, his light, walking with him. It's interesting when you look at not just maybe the meaning of light, but so much as some of the things that relate to light in Scripture. There's things that connect with this idea of light in Scripture that we see. There's themes of fellowship. There's themes of redemption, of forgiveness, and of confession. Once again, that thing that maybe we find confronting about light. It shows up the truth of who we are. And so confession is sometimes a way of moving towards the light aligning ourselves with the light of reality. It's all about relationship in a way. Even though it's confronting sometimes, and we think it might actually drive a wedge in our relationship, perhaps with God. If the light of our true selves were able to be seen by God, because we fool ourselves that while we're in the dark, God can't see us, but if that light were to reveal our true selves to God, then maybe he wouldn't be happy with us, and he would actually not want to have a relationship with us. But that's not to understand 1 John or this idea of light. The light is actually inviting us to it. And the light actually says, I can see who you are, but I still wish to include you and embrace you. Light is one of those good things that causes life to thrive if we would indeed move towards it. Now, just for a moment, looking at what is light, it's probably fair to give darkness a bit of a hearing, and that print might be too small for you to read, but there's just, this is the Merriam-Webster definition of darkness. And amongst it, there's a few things. It's the quality of state of being dark, such as A, and this is the first one I want to draw your attention to, the total or near total absence of light. Darkness is an absence of light. And so in that creation account, what is the thing that exists when there is no light? It says there's a darkness. There was this darkness over the void. There's this darkness that is there, and that darkness will remain there. It will be there forever until God says, let there be light, and then there is light. And then what happens? The light breaks into that situation, and darkness moves back as light comes in. And so with darkness, there's a total or near total absence of light. And to drop down to C, it says a gloomy or depressed state or tone. One of the things that light does, we often think about that in the way of a mood, don't we? I have a heavy mood, there's a dark mood came over the room, as opposed to a light mood, where there is a lightness that sometimes we associate with perhaps joy. The second definition, it just says evil, capital letters, which is an interesting perspective when you look at Genesis and the account there where there is darkness and there is light. And it says that on the first, well, the beginning of the first day is that God separates the light from the darkness, doesn't he? He calls the light day and he calls the darkness night. But there's possibly, being Hebrew poetry, more going on than just the construction of a 24-hour period with the sun revolving around the earth. It could actually be more than that. It could be that God created a world in which there are forces, where there is goodness and there is evil, and that those two things are separate. And then finally, it says a lack of knowledge or enlightenment. And so there's that lack of truth. There's that lack of wisdom, perhaps. But there is no truth, there is no life. Essentially, there is just death. So that's the first point I want to make. God is light. What does that look like? There's some things maybe we can now work from with regards to that. Certainly purity and wisdom and truth and life and illumination, certainly those things. The second point, though, is that this all comes across as very black and white, just like the slides that I've created for you today. Very black and white, isn't it? Did you notice verse 6? John actually starts talking about you and me and our walk with Jesus, the light of the world, and how that perhaps there's realities around that. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, that is with Jesus, that is with the Father, that is the one that is light, yet walk in darkness, he says, we lie and do not live by the truth. He says, God is light. And so if we're walking in darkness and say that we have fellowship with him, that's a lie. He said that if God is light and you have fellowship with him, then you will walk in the light. Can you see how black and white John is being here? There's no shades of gray for John. God is light. You're either with the light or you're in the darkness. You don't get to walk down the middle, half in the light, half in the darkness. There's no grayness here. It's black, it's white. Jesus talks about this a little bit, doesn't he? He says you can't serve two masters. You can't walk in the dark and walk in the light. So some ways we might think Jesus might say you need to choose, but Jesus probably would say, it's probably more accurate to say, you've already chosen. You're already in one reality or the other. You're already camped in one. And so there's very much this dichotomy that is set up by John, which is sort of a light versus darkness. It's either pure and holy versus evil. It's either wisdom and truth versus a lack of knowledge or a hiding or rejection of knowledge. It's either life-giving or it's depressed. It's either in full view, it's illuminated, or it's unenlightened. Darkness, it's interesting. Have you noticed that the way it works, that darkness doesn't ever invade light, but light invades darkness? You can't take truth and somehow make it untruth, but you can take the untruth and make it true. It's an amazing way that God has set this up. Light invades darkness as it does in Genesis 1:1. There is darkness, and then God says, let there be light, and that invades the darkness. But we're either in one reality or the other. It's black and white. Have I said that enough? And so verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim, now this is suddenly where the black and the white gets a little bit, should I say grey? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For me to walk in the light is not to be without sin. For me to walk in the light is to be aware of my sin. And we sometimes set up this dichotomy. If I am in the light, then I mustn't sin. If I'm in the darkness, I must be sinning. That's the difference. But no, it's not the difference, John says. The difference is your understanding of who you are, whether it's an informed understanding or if it's living in denial. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So walking in the light does not mean we are perfect. It means we recognize our brokenness. Broken people walk in the light. You can be a person of light and yet still be somebody who has failings, especially this side of heaven. But broken people walk in the light, and John doesn't go into this here, but I hope we can see this as we continue through 1 John. They become more light as they walk. They become people who are less weighed down with sin. And once again, on this side of eternity, they'll always have sin there in their lives, but they'll always be broken to some degree. But somehow walking in the light changes us. Remember, this is the place of life, of transformation. And so we suddenly discover that, well, I don't know about you, I have a question now. Is this really black and white after all? And so I hope you appreciate the next slide. It's not just black and white at all, is it? Because fundamentally, this is about relationship, and relationship is actually in technicolor. It's not black and white. There's a whole lot of colors that come into 1 John if we would just open our eyes and see them, because this strange thing called light, we often show light as white and darkness as black, but that's not the reality, is it? Light often appears white, but if you were to Google the colours of light, you will discover that it's not white. The colours of light are full of all the colours of the rainbow, which is ironic. There is colour in light. And so when we say something is black and white, maybe that's two different things. But John's not talking about black and white, he's talking about light and darkness. And in light, there is much colour. And so in 1 John 1, 3-4, which Matt looked at last week, he says, I just want to pull out some of the colour for you, and I hope you can see the colour that I've made for you. He says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard to you, so you also may have fellowship, and I put fellowship in several colours, with us. There is this thing called fellowship which brings all sorts of things to it, doesn't it? It brings colours of joy, of intimacy, of vulnerability, even of fear at points, of confession, of forgiveness, of love. There's all sorts of things that come into fellowship that bring all sorts of colour and warmth to it. It says, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy, and joy is a, isn't that a word that brings colour? Our joy complete. Now, I don't know, I think in some ways, Matt, last week he provided with this great introduction, but I did want to pick up on one little thing maybe that didn't come through very strongly, and that is from those two verses there. Can you see what John is saying? We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard to you also, so you also may have fellowship with us. John's saying, you yet don't have fellowship with us, and we want you to have fellowship with us. Then notice what he says. He says, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. He says, we're walking with the light, in the light. And he said, that is so awesome. But notice that even though they are walking in the light, their joy is not complete. Why is their joy not complete? Because for John, he's saying, you're not walking in the light with us. It's not enough, he says, for me to walk in the light. He says, I want you to walk in the light. And so John says, I'm writing these things so that you'll walk in the light, and so you'll have fellowship with us and with the Father. And then our joy will be complete. Now, when I was a kid, and I think I've watched The Wizard of Oz since. Do you remember movies back in the old days when movies were so poorly edited? They went for like 3 hours and were incredibly boring. And as a kid, the excitement that we were going to sit up, because The Wizard of Oz was on TV. And I think as I look back, you know, the Yellow Brick Road, that I think the actual movie, The Wizard of Oz, has some degree of colour in it, I think, or they've maybe remastered it and you can see the Yellow Brick Road. But for us, we had a black and white TV. So we had our TV. My dad never, I don't think he ever spent much money on a TV, but he had a friend who used to fix old Valve black and white TVs, and so we'd update to the latest 50-year-old TV. And we'd sit there and we watched The Wizard of Oz in black and white, and they're singing, you know, follow the yellow brick road, and I'm looking going, yes, follow that grey road. With all these shades of black and white and grey and in between. But in my imagination, I could see that there was more. As a kid, there was so much more than I could see that was there. And John paints this picture for people maybe who are living in a black and white reality, and says, there is so much colour in Christ. Can you join us? He invites them in. He says, come and share our joy, that our joy may be complete. He says, God wants a real, whole, complete connection to us and us to him. And remember the other thing from last week that that John talked about. He was talking about Jesus, the word of life, he says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes in technicolor, he says. We've seen Jesus in full HDMI. He says, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. Suddenly, John brings in all these senses. It's not just visual, it's the sense of touch. He says, this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. This is not black and white, he says. And so I don't know if you can see it, but there's this thing that you can do to images to make them look textured. I did that so that we could be reminded that this is something we can touch. Christ was actually a man, a person. And as he walked with his disciples and those that he met, he was the full experience. For us, we're often like me, as I watch The Wizard of Oz on our black and white TV, we just look at black and white pieces of paper, don't we? White pieces of paper with black print. Unless we have a red letter Bible, in which case we have a splash of colour. But the reality is so much more. It's colourful. But there's this place in all of this that John goes, which I think we need to go to just for a moment, and I don't want to scare you. I want you to see that this is a good thing. And if it's something that you don't have in your life at this time, I would encourage you to have it so that you could have a fuller walk in the technicolor relationship that is possible in Jesus. He says this, he says, if we would confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We had a prayer this morning which involved a prayer of confession. And we were reminded in that prayer of confession that we don't always live the way God would have us live. Now remember, that doesn't mean you're not in the light. It doesn't mean that a relationship to God is closed off to you. In fact, because of Jesus, it's opened up to you if you can realize, accept that reality, that you're broken, and that you and I, we have things to confess. And when we confess them, it helps cement our place in the light. But not only that, it brings color, more color, to our place in the light, because more truth is allowed in to our hearts. We open ourselves up to the reality of who we really are, and therefore how much God has really loved us, how much grace he actually has. Our brokenness and transformation is a part of the color. Confession, forgiveness, redemption, restoration, transformation, they're all different colors in our relationship to Jesus and walking in the light. Confession is so crucial. It's so much a foundational beginning part of the journey, but it's that part that we also return to each day as we return to all of them. We come back to ground ourselves in the reality that we're broken, and yet God loves us. Can I just say that that's a scary place to sit? That place of, I am broken, and this specifically is my brokenness that I recognize right now. That's not a nice place to sit, is it? Unless, of course, we're sitting there going, and that just reminds me how much God loves me. And then we realize the more we see our brokenness, the more we grow in our understanding of God's love, of his grace. And we realize, even though it's at first confronting to be in a place of confession and realizing our brokenness and accepting it and admitting it, confession will bring truth and purity and fellowship and wisdom and redemption and restoration. But it all hangs, doesn't it, on that, I guess where we began, 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's a funny thing, but sometimes our relationship with God is hampered to the degree by which we will refuse to accept our brokenness. And sometimes the thing that stops us is because we just are convinced that God will not accept our brokenness. I want to assure you this morning that God is right now looking at you going, I accept you and I see all of your brokenness. I see the brokenness that you have not lived up, you have not owned up to. I see the brokenness that you are not even aware of. And yet I love you. If we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. To walk in the light is to walk in the truth. And so I want to say this morning, this is a spiritual practice. It's one that James, in his letter, encourages us to do. He says, he reminds us to confess to one another. And this is really an interesting thing. He doesn't say, just confess to Jesus. Don't just confess quietly and privately. He says, confess to one another. Why is that? Well, I think it actually goes back to the reason why John's joy is not going to be complete until he has a connection with God and a connection with other people. It's part of who we're designed to be. Sometimes the reality of Jesus and his love will not become true to our heart until we actually confess our sins to another person. And they reflect Jesus' forgiveness to us in a real and tangible way. It opens us up to our connection with Jesus more. And so I want to encourage you, if this is something that you struggle with or find hard, so do I. I think that's natural. Is it something that's helpful? Absolutely. It's a part of walking humbly with our God. When it comes to confessing to one another, it's I think something that we need to move forward with cautiously. I think to confess our sins to somebody who will judge us will actually set us back on our journey. It may even drive us towards the darkness and out of the light. And so choosing carefully who we confess our sins to is really important. And so I'd encourage you to think that through to give it to God and maybe ask God if you don't feel you have somebody that you can trust, a trustworthy person who will hold confidence and who will also demonstrate graciousness to you. Maybe it's worth for a period just asking God, Lord, I'd like to confess some things to somebody, to another person. Would you provide the right person for me? And see what God does in that space. Well, I encourage you in that, and that's a walk that, it's a hard walk to take, but it's one that is one that bears fruit in our lives, I believe, as we find ourselves walking more and more in the light as a result. There's some questions to ponder that will be in REMAC that you'd like to, if you'd like to do that. But especially as some of us maybe consider confession this week and talking to somebody, I'd love to pray for us as we do that. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and for your forgiveness that is offered freely through Jesus. And we thank you that you love us in spite of our brokenness. Lord, we ask that you would help us to bring our brokenness to you and to each other where appropriate. Lord, if some of us are thinking about maybe stepping out and being vulnerable in that way, Lord, I pray that you would help us to find trustworthy people, that you will find, that we will find people who won't judge. Perhaps indeed people who might simply just be able to put a hand on our shoulder to thank us for our ability to share, our willingness to share. And to be able to say that they still love us and to remind us that we have your forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to walk in your light, in all of its colours, in Jesus' name. Amen.